Welcome to another podcast about the fundamentals or origins of science by Peter Hill. Pleased to speak with you. Last podcast was about Philo the philosopher, and I've just had a few chats, or a few people have listened to that and asked me a few questions. There's one wisecrack that was Philo the philosopher from the Philippines. No, he was a Jewish philosopher. Another question was, if he was a Jewish philosopher, not far from Jerusalem, actually going to Jerusalem around the time of Christ, did he write anything about Christ? Because he was dealing primarily with Roman abuse or Roman unrest. And you can be pretty sure that if he did write anything, he'd be front page news. So he missed that one. Now, this one, he's 38 of my 48 Greek philosophers. I'm trying to give you a bit of a feel for the ancient Greek philosophers. And I want to get onto another philosopher. So not all, there are many, many more philosophers than these 48 which I've selected, which scan through ancient history. That's from 600 BC to around 400 AD. The one that I want to pick up is Critias, C-R-I-T-A-S, a Critias, a philosopher. His claim to fame, or the interesting thing about him, is that he was a tyrant philosopher. So you often think of these philosophers being gentle folk who are a bit out of touch, but he was right in touch. He was one of the 30 tyrants of Greece, so at a time when Greece was going through a horrible stage before really the invention of democracy. They had a period of tyrants, and this was not a good thing. And so the idea of a tyrant philosopher is an interesting thing to get to. There's another aspect of him, is that besides being a tyrant philosopher, he enjoyed a lot of power as a philosopher, and he wrote a play. He used to write plays, and in the play he had one of his spokesperson, the people speaking his ideas, say that, look, religion's a bit of a scam to stop people thinking for themselves, and we really should move beyond religion. And now this, even in Greek time, was a sort of a bombshell, saying that, you know, I mean, the gods aren't right and all the superstition isn't correct, we should actually just think rationally. Now, this obviously didn't progress through the filter of the Middle Ages, even within Greek philosophy, it didn't progress because it was too radical. So what I find interesting about this is that this is showing you the sort of the bounds with which philosophy was conducted in the ancient world, that is, subject to religious beliefs, and the fact that certain ideas were filtered as they went forward. So similar to the Philo, he was following up an area of philosophy where he was trying to mix Jewish philosophy with the Hellenistic or rational philosophy, or I suppose more what we think of the ancient philosophy. And this is only interesting because it wasn't very successful, but it was a prelude to a much greater movement coming out of the Dark Ages or into the Middle Ages, where people began to try and refuse the rational thought with the or the ancient Greek thought of Aristotle with the Christian belief in teachings. And of course this led to a whole lot of turmoils, which actually kick-started a lot of key ideas in science. But getting back to the ancient Greek world, I have a few questions that I have in my mind, and I have a few theories here. We have Greek philosophy really kick-start in the Greek world, and if you can imagine, these are a whole lot of little isolated states sitting on the borders of the Mediterranean, and there's some fundamental gear shift between the empires or the civilizations which preceded this and the Greek civilization. And the civilization that everyone really knows of is the Egyptian civilization. Now, the Egyptian civilization had a lot of the same structures as the Greek civilization, but of course it was different. One of the things that was interesting in the Greek civilization was, besides the philosophical dialogue, there was a musical and a written or plays were a major thing in Greek life. So all societies or Greek cities used to get copies of plays and reenact them. And there'd be bards travelling throughout the Greek Empire singing the news. And the people would hire political bards to sing a particular political viewpoint. And if you remember back in this era, it wasn't a era full of media. So a play or a bard singing something would have a profound effect. So there are a few instances where there was a war about to erupt and they sent a bard in and smooth things over, or sent a singer in and they actually changed the course of a political action. And so this sort of thing didn't actually happen in Egypt. And I think a little bit is because it was such a linear landlocked structure that things that the religions were able to build up to a massive size and actually grow to a scale which couldn't actually exist or couldn't be supported by the smaller population centres scattered throughout the Mediterranean. They did have a lot of their cultural work, entertainment, but it was related to temples. And I was very interested to see in a mummy exhibition the mummy of a temple entertainer. And they were able to pick up a lot about her. So she worked as a hostess or an entertainer, a singer within the temple. So a lot of the religious ceremonies were built into the religion. And I think just the geographical structure of ancient Greece with the Mediterranean and the smaller sizes, things meant that they had to have a transportation of ideas and by sea, and a written idea. So this, if you'd like, is sort of like the birth of a pre-internet of the ancient world. The Greeks had a sort of an internet going where instead of an email arriving, you'd get a play arriving written on script, and other people could write as well. So it was much more egalitarian. The Greek script was easier to write. So as in nowadays, as everyone can publish, back then, much smaller scale, there was a lot of other people, a lot of smaller publishing going on, and if you weren't successful, you'd just disappear. So you had a whole lot more authorship going on. Plays also had, I think, a profound effect in Greek culture, because as a play device, you would have a god marrying a individual, and protagonists would continue along. This had positive and negative effects. So you'd have, say, for instance, when they were retelling the story of Pythagoras, they said that he had his parents, one was Apollo and a normal person, and this sort of explained Pythagoras's extraordinary mental ability. So the negative effect was that if you did have anyone extraordinary, after a generation or two, they would sort of be airbrushed out by saying, oh, look, there was a god. There's actually no such thing as gifted and talented there. And so you had people like Alexander the Great believing that he was a god, that his parents were somehow involved in the gods, and he spent a lot of his time questing a cross in his conquest, searching for the question of whether he was a god. And there's quite a famous thing where he went to the Oracle of Delphi. Yeah, you're a god. But he went to an Egyptian oracle in the desert, and so you can imagine this is a sort of an out-of-the-way oracle in the desert, and Alexander rocked up with his entire army there all of a sudden. You can imagine a very backward part of Egypt, and the oracle had would have a look around and said, I think you are a god. So, but he was quite obsessed with it. So a lot of this idea, unlike the Egyptians where they had the kings as gods, so often, yeah, and this is very interesting, that powerful people, powerful kings often get themselves associated with gods, even sorry, even to this day, if you look at the at Thailand. But going back, the idea that this playwright or this culture would actually go in and restitch gods back into history to explain various events. Now, this is interesting in that this culture, which was able to invent gods, came into criticism by Critias, but also this sort of culture moved across, and you had the Christian religion, where that God actually visited or lived within our community, which was beginning to be a Greek myth. So, although I suppose very few Greeks people would ever expect this to happen, it actually did happen in the Christian religion. This revision of their social history, or the history coming back by actually rewriting it and placing gods in at key points to add drama to it, I think must at the time have had a bit of poetic and dramatic license. If we look at the Pythagoras, our philosopher number 4, interesting in that this is sort of our one philosopher, as far as I know, who's been made into a god or demigod. He had, as I said before, his father was Apollo, apparently Apollo, and according to some sources, some people believe that his thigh was golden. This obviously doesn't get put into the main histories, but you can imagine someone with a thigh made of gold, which would be quite heavy, would actually sink if they swam. They would be able to swim or do anything practical if their thigh was golden. And so I think you get a view that the audience didn't have a high level of sophistication that we would call nowadays, it's all to them. They could be easily or more easily amazed and excited. And you can imagine being one of those ancient Greek plays, the people would just, something would be said and we would think that'd be elegant, but for them it would be absolutely real. They wouldn't need CGI, they just need the words, and they could all imagine it. Now, this godification became a bit more strained. There was idea that there's hereditary gods with the pharaohs, but then you had the Roman emperors actually saying that we are gods. Now, a little bit after Julius Caesar, around at the time of Christ, a short time after, you had the Roman emperors saying, look, we are gods, we want to be worshipped as gods. Now, you can imagine nowadays this would be very difficult to process. Now, one of the things which caused concern was that Caligula wanted a statue of himself in the Jewish temple, and this of course caused riots. So this process which was hemming in ancient philosophy and placing limits on it and not allowing it to go in certain directions was going to go forward anyway and cause major conflicts. And so it's a very interesting era. I hope this has been interesting. That's all for now. In the meantime, keep on doing science.